This is the discussion call, and this is where you can express your views on any topic of your choice. NLA does not teach any topics here. This is an open forum, and the views expressed by the speakers here may or may not represent the views of the National Liberty Alliance. It's kind of the people's hour. And it is April 26th, and the time is 9:04. So, people, it's your hour. Go for it. Whatever you want to talk about. Looks like all we have are listeners. Come on. Veronica, you can think of something.
Well, there's Ginger from Texas, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think everybody should learn how to use Discord.
Rather than pre-conferencing?
No, not in place of, in addition to.
Okay, well then, Ginger from Texas here.
What's on your mind tonight, Ginger?
All right. I love the open forum. A quick question. It has come to my attention that the case 1:16 CBO 1490, the case that was submitted from NLA in the New York courts was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was dismissed. So can you give me some update on that? I guess this was done. The document was filed on 6/14/17, and it was signed by Judge Kahn. So, what's the update on that, please?
Well, there's several things. Kahn was not assigned to the case. The magistrate, I forget his name, that was assigned, Kahn jumped in on top of it. And
Stewart, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was something rather Stewart.
Hold on just a minute. Let me take notes here because this is important. Okay, so I'm hearing that the dismissal that Kahn signed was like a non sequitur, or it was not viable? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, not according to common law, I believe.
Okay.
And
hold on.
We did a subsequent filing.
Okay.
I believe it was an indictment of Kahn for his actions in that case, and they haven't responded
exactly
to that. And we have filed
a
number.
I think that's a writ of error.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, guys. You're running down the road a wee bit for me. So, this one, the dismissal filed by Kahn on 6/14/17 is like not anything. It's an non sequitur, and so the case is still ongoing, I guess. I'm getting bogged down here in what was
we're
the
still,
next then?
We're still
okay,
filing.
Hold on. Okay.
You can always go to the transcript of the this one doesn't have a transcript, sorry. You can't do that. You can do that on
correct
the Monday call.
I looked for it.
No, the Monday call is the only one we have somebody that volunteered to do the transcript.
Okay. So So,
do you have,
where are we?
Do you have access to PACER? If you go to PACER, you can pull up all the documents.
Okay, so PACER.
Yeah.
Is that not, hold on. Is it not on the NLA site?
It's probably posted there too, but John has moved stuff around the last couple of weeks, and some of the stuff I have.
Correct. There you go. So, how can I be walked through this? I'm a kind of 1-2-3-Z gal. I would, anyway. So, just direct me. Absolutely. That's why we're here, dear. Bounce off Boomer.
Have you read that website on the National Liberty Alliance site? Have you read the nationallibertyalliance.org/docket?
Honey, I've been a member for years now.
Okay, and that tells me you've been a member for years. Have you read nationallibertyalliance.org/docket?
Correct. And
so you have read it.
Yes, and I'm missing out on it. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the file 614. Anyway, this is one of my problems. I'm getting bogged down, and I'm a sensible gal. I've been, you know, utilizing internet, docs, business broker, commercial realtor. I'm used to documents. And, guys, I'm just getting bogged down in all this. So,
okay, so you see the papers filed, right?
Correct. And then I don't see the one that says the one filed that is the dismissal. So I'm missing some stuff here. But anyway, so just direct me, and then maybe I need to bop back on and see what's all been refiled or where we are on this. And then I can speak intelligently, because I haven't been able to find all these other papers that says it's been dismissed. And so just guide me, just tell me where to go, and I'll take a look, see, and then be able to speak intelligently next time.
Well, I thought I knew which one it was, but I'm
well. There is a writ of error filed against Stewart and Kahn, I guess, and Cuomo as defendants. Well, there's a whole bunch of defendants.
It looks like 1024.
Yeah,
1024-03 or -04. No? I had
it. You can go
1024-01.
Go to docket, and you can see it.
01. Yep. They're all listed there on the docket.
All
right. Even
they're in reverse chronological order.
Okay. So hold on. I'm there. So just where do I go next? I'm on the front page. So just guide me through this, please, and then I'll be able to.
The grand jury. Tab.
Pardon?
Are you on the grand jury tab, or are you on the front page?
Yes. No. I'm right there on the grand jury tab.
Okay. Scan down to the docket. Hold your mouse over the grand jury.
Grand jury docket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Click on that.
Okay. Hold on. Come on, guys. Yikes. Grand jury docket. Wow. Okay, there we go. It picks it up. All right.
Okay. On the left, you'll see papers filed. Scan down a little ways, you'll see papers filed about a page down.
Hold on. hold on, babe. Docket case just says view and then...
Scan down.
Okay. Papers filed. There you go.
Okay. 1024-01 is the writ of error. And the one before that was 1024 unlawful order to dismiss, which
hold
was
on.
The first response to Mr. Kahn.
Okay, hold on. Papers filed. I'm sorry I'm sounding like such a doofus here, but under papers filed it says President-elect Trump letter.
Yeah, keep going down.
Okay. All right. Okie dokie. To... Which one?
There's a whole series of 1024 documents. You can start with 1024, unlawful order to dismiss.
Okay, got that one.
The next one above it's the same number with a dash 01 on it. That's a writ of error final.
Okay, correct. All right, so then that will lead me. I don't want to waste anybody's valuable time here because now I'll be directed. And so I guess my question is, after I get through reviewing all these, then I will see that this dismissal is
unlawful
is being,
and fraudulent.
Yeah.
The dismissal is
okay. The dismissal is unlawful and fraudulent. Okay. There we go. So let me ding around in that then again. It's still up and running, in other words. That's what I'm hearing. It's still
on the
docket. Okay. All right.
We're still filing more papers into that number.
Okay. So what, and then what is expected?
Well, at some point, a moment of sanity, I would hope.
You're trying to deal sensibly with insensible people.
I know. That's the problem.
Lousy me.
When we get that moment of sanity, then things will start to move. Until then, they're just piling up behind them like water behind a dam. And we keep filing more and more documents into it, and the pile gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but
still,
we're trying to do the common law thing, my dears, in the wrong courts.
This is the correct court. It's just that they've been subverted.
And yeah, you got to hang on. Look at him. This is Eric in Georgia. This is the correct court, like Jan was saying. This is the proper court. They're in the wrong court. They're in the fraudulent court.
How can it be resolved? Because we're the good guys, and we're trying to deal, like I said, deal sensibly in the incorrect court. So what's the answer? I mean, my goodness.
Look, the answer is this. The answer is patience is a virtue. And Gerard gave us a big hint the other night. He said there's chatter at the federal level, okay? Just like Jan was talking about, this pressure, it's building and it builds. And we have to follow due process. You can't sacrifice principle for expediency. We must follow due process. That's the thing. They can do all they want in their criminal courts, which is what they do anyway. But at some point, the hammer is going to drop. So you just got to hang in there. Okay, so
go ahead, pardon me, but patience is my short shrift, of course, so.
Okay, the other thing that we've done is we have a separate case running as well, and that's filed in New York State, same thing, different case, that's on their SAFE Act. And that has been filed, and it's been entered into the record. We have a hearing on July 2nd set up to hear the initial hearing on that. And we're asking everybody that's within, I know you're in Texas, but it's just a short plane trip. If you'd like to come up to New York State and go to Albany to listen to the hearing on July 2nd. We're inviting all people that are within driving distance that, you know, easily accessible. For me, it's about a 5.5-hour drive, but I plan to go to hear what the good judges up there have to say. So that's a second avenue we've opened up.
Now, let me ask you this then. Can I do the same thing in Texas then? Why don't I? Well, you can
if you are the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, but I don't think you are. I would not advise doing it on your own.
Well, I've signed up for everything. Hold on just a minute.
Right.
I've signed up for everything. I've taken the courses. I've done my vow. I'm paying my, you know, my dues in essence. So how can I make that work? Because we're registered in all the counties. So why can't all the counties do that? Do the same thing?
That's what we've been avoiding for the present, because the county sheriffs are not amenable to having us carry out, you know, they won't help us. They won't carry out our orders and stuff.
Oh, okay, I see.
We're doing it from a national perspective initially.
Okay,
you know,
good. You gave me a reason. I'm a reasonable gal. Just give me a reason.
You only want one. Okay, good. Glad to hear that.
Go figure. All right, sweetie. Well, listen, you've answered my questions, and then I'll, go in and review. And so it has not been stopped. It's an ongoing thing, and we're hanging in there. So, yay. All right. Well, God bless, and I'll ring off and listen.
Okay.
All right.
Anybody else?
Thanks, guys.
Yep. You're welcome.
And so, look, just to add on, for if you want more of a layman's understanding of what's going on, if you go back to the blue tab, the blue bar on the top there, and hover over news, and then go down to blogs and over to the Common Law Kid, click on that, and the first blog is the indictment of Judge Lawrence Kahn, and it just explains what it's about and what he did and why the grand jury indicted him. And it's a simple way to get a good handle on what those papers are about. But you should definitely read those papers, and it's the 5th, 6th, and 7th papers down is the ones you should focus on, and you'll have a good understanding after that.
Okay, and I'm right there right now, 5th, 6th, and 7th, and I shall read, and you know, if you can read, you can do anything. So I shall read this. I'm directed, and looking forward to my understanding, and thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, we're gonna get this shtick. We're gonna get it going. I truly believe, everything's okay. We're gonna be restored. Thanks.
Next speaker, step right up. The speaker's box is open.
Hello.
Hello. This is California Fred.
Hello, Fred.
The lady that just quit speaking, I think she indicated she was a real estate broker or something. I was wondering if she had any input about, and she might be knowledgeable, about the home foreclosures going on across the United States. Maybe she has some input about that, or maybe she would like to learn more about that. I yield.
Any comment, Ginger?
Not really. Because I've been kind of out of the profession for a few years now. When I, the last time I was at a forum in Dallas about the short sales, about all this going on about the short sales, the head of the, gosh, what is it? The real estate, the government folks that make the laws, I mean, that make the loans. Anyway, they were there in a huge forum, and we were asking about, well, you know, what about these short sales? How can we help people? Da-da-da-da-da. And what are the laws? And she just stood there and said there were none. It was all up to the banks. And that reminded me that it all goes back to the banksters, the Rothschilds, and the till we get rid of the Federal Reserve, nothing's going to be resolved. Just need to get rid of the Federal Reserve, get back to the old value gold standard and no usury. Man, so...
Hello.
How are you doing? I know a little bit about the illegal foreclosures. I used to work in the tax. My husband was a bank manager. First of all, everybody got to get their copies of their deed transcript. All right. And what they've been doing, and this started, I guess, back in the early 80s, and I guess they were talking about that salt and silver, and I guess his trial's coming up again or whatever. I don't know what's going on. But anyways, it's been a big Ponzi scheme. And what they were doing to people, when you purchased your property, okay, and I was like in a fixed rate. I'm the one who did my own mortgage setup. When people go to the bank or whatever the case is, they will sit there and tell you, well, you can get this and put your taxes and your mortgage and your house insurance and an escrow and put things in an equity or whatever. Then they wanted to put you in like a 30-year mortgage. And then they said, well, it's cheaper if you go for a variable rate. And then, you know, and then it can go up, but there was never like no cap or whatever the case is. All right. I had owned enough property, so I know exactly what was what. Number one, what I was telling people, number one, whenever you buy anything, you want a fixed rate, okay? And you do it for 15 years. Never include your taxes, your house insurance. They wanted to put flood insurance and all that. I says, I'm on the top of the hill, so if the sound comes up over my house, well, everybody's house is going to go. But so I said, no, I do not want that. I wavered that. But I had the insurance for disaster, you know. So what happened during, what was it, Hurricane Sandy, one of the storms, my house had got hit with, you know, and my insurance covered that. And what happened, they started changing my mortgage. And my mortgage went from $678, and then they sold off my mortgage. And then they started with this crazy variable. Okay, I was in a fixed rate for 15 years, so my house would be paid off within 10 to 11 years. And thank God, because this happened to me in 2004, they turned around and they said, well, we are starting foreclosure procedures. So I was just like, you know, I was going through a whole lot because my husband had just passed and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, I said, what the heck? And I said, so I contacted my attorney. I said, do me a favor, pull up my contract. I said, I'm the one who sat there and put my mortgage contract together. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I said, they got me in foreclosure. He goes, I can't understand. He goes, how are you in foreclosure when you're the one who put your contract together? I said, I figured it out. And I said, I just pulled my other legal I went to the town hall and I got my mortgage deed. So all of a sudden, I said, this is what they did. I said, they perpetrated a fraud, and they changed my mortgage, which is illegal. And I said, you know, I want you to ask all these questions. So we did a conference call, and there was three of us on our side, and they had the president, and the three people's names that were constantly harassing me, which I really should have sued them because I found out the, what is it called? There was a big lawsuit against the same company. I believe it was called, it was Columbus, Georgia versus PHH Mortgage. So they were answering all their questions. I said, I told my attorney, I said, I want to ask the last question. And so they had an answer for everything. I said, I have a question for you. I said, who signed my name to change the mortgage, and there is no date on this application? I said, somebody just committed complete fraud. Oh, we made a mistake. They sent me the release and all. On your mortgage statement, everybody, when you go, because it has MERS, MERS, and then all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, that's also my pension, you know? And they're the ones, they scan your name, but on your deed, and you ask them for a contract, show me your contract, behind, whenever we sign anything, what goes behind your name? Today's what? Date. There is no date. Then I asked for a sworn notarized affidavit. When did I take out a mortgage with you? So now with this mess with this GE, again, show me a legal contract, number one, and show me who signed my name with you and the date. So now they keep on, they have different ones, you know, peddling around. So they have this one guy sign off. So good. So I sent him the subrogation and the proof of claim, what have you. Also, I contacted NUCA. They cover the credit unions. So now they're doing an investigation. And come to find out, I guess there is some federal lawsuits against GE because they pulled the same scam on, you know. And I got to go back to court on Monday, so I'm bringing people. Yesterday, I was in court. I've been in court for the past 3 weeks. And, I mean, the horrifying things. There was this one woman that was in there, and I thought she was getting ready to have a heart attack. I was, you know, so upset for her. But what happened, she didn't have a phone, nothing. And they were going to throw her out on the street this morning at 8:30. And I said, you know, just please calm down. I said, you know, so I was just trying to say encouraging things to her. And I said, let's say a prayer and stuff like that. So she put an emergency disability stay there. And they gave it to her at 3 o'clock. The same judge that's taken everybody's property. And then he didn't even use his court chambers. He went up to another floor yesterday. So nobody would be there up on the sixth floor. So I said, I'm going to tell you what, because I said, I have other things I got to do. I'm going to stay here with you, and I'm going to be your court observer. So when the judge saw me and this other woman sitting in there as her witness, she was, you know, she was all upset and hysterics. And I said, just breathe and calm down. I went over some Bible scriptures with her, and I said, just be calm. Everything's going to be okay. So the judge, because he saw us writing, he turned around and said, well, you know, we took over your house every year ago. We changed your mortgage. Are you? We signed, which everything he was saying, I said, oh, good. I said, you got to get the transcript on this. So he told her she could have 4 more weeks. She goes, but I need more time than that. And so he goes, so finally, you know, and we were sitting there just writing because, he goes, I'm going to give you until June 14th, and on the 15th, they're going to come and throw you out. So she goes, thank you, Your Honor. And so then, you know, went downstairs, I said, get the paperwork and all that. And so I was getting ready to leave, and I said, where's your car? She goes, I don't have the money to even catch the bus. And she didn't have no phone because that's why I stayed there, because she had no phone and she had to contact the people that were you know, trying to take her property. So she needed like $13, and I said, well, I got to get this. And I used to get about $15. I said, I got to get this white out. And I said, tomorrow, I said, I probably get, you know, give you $13. It would just so happen what I needed, and I had $13, so we got her phone cut back on. So she was just like, oh, my God. She goes, you were such a good look. I says, well, you know, don't thank me, thank Jehovah. So then, you know, I took her. She had to go get her medicine because she was very, very sickly. And I brought her back home. I went to see, check on her today, and she called me. She goes, that was my first time sleeping. I said, okay, what you're going to need to do is file your Social Security. We've got to file this, do this, and let's get things going. And I told her, you know, to get signed up with the National Liberty Alliance. It just so happened she was, like, on the same street. I live about 2 miles away. And so I went to check on her today. And, you know, as I said, this is why we have to go to court for other people. I said, she was a total stranger, but this is horrible how they're treating people. You know, and they also had a big meeting here, over 500 people. They were going off about the attorneys and the judges. They're perpetrating a fraud. They're stealing everybody's property. Now, like in Connecticut, all the attorneys are buying all the buildings from the banks to all the, you know, everything. And I said, now their names, I said, this is where all the foreclosure money is going, you know. So the people were going off on the mayor, the common council, and even like with this WPCA, that's a water bill. And we just found out, you know, because they attach it to our tax bill. So I said, okay, we assumed that it was a tax bill, but they overpriced us on it. I said, where did you drive at these figures, you know? And I said, can I please have my WPCA bill, what I paid, so I can use it as a write-off. They go, you can't use it as a write-off. It's just a bill. It has nothing to do with taxes. I said, what? I said, you mean nobody's paying no money on these taxes, but yet they could take our home? I said, well, wait a minute. If I owned a light bill or a phone bill or a charge card bill, that goes to a collection agency. And if your debts are so high, if I owned $100,000 in debt, I could file for bankruptcy and they would discharge everything. They can't take your house. So how in the world can they take your house by just flushing the toilet? So everybody's been duped. So now, people are enraged because the majority of the people here in Connecticut was losing their homes on this WPCA. Who owns it? It's the attorneys. The attorneys and corporates, and they're all involved, and all the mayors and all them, they are attorneys. So it's just like people are waking up all over, and enough is enough, what's been going on, you know? And when we buy a house or whatever, you know, never go for a 30-year mortgage. And another thing everybody better be aware of also is the reevaluation. Okay, because it's based on 70% of the fair market value. Okay, so for example, if when they take our homes, they get it for almost nothing because our home's already paid for, then they turn around and sell it for maybe $500,000 to $1 million based on 70% of the fair market value. So if you're helping for $1 million, your house is going to be assessed at $700,000. So now the taxes is going to be going from $3,000 to $10,000 to almost $50,000 to $70,000, and people don't even make that as an income. Minimum wage in 2018 to be $48. The remedy in 1974, this was one of our final exams. In 1974, minimum wage was $1.10. And this was one of our final exams before we graduate. If we flunked that test, and she says this was like almost 50% of our exam, we wouldn't graduate. So you know what? I learned that forwards and backwards. The ages was 17, 18, and 19 in our senior year. Okay, so the question, what was the retirement age? Well, the retirement age in 74 was 55 years of age, okay? So if you were 17, it would be 38 years. If you were 6, if you were 20, if you were 18, it would have been 37 years before you could retire. And if you were 19, it would have been 36 years. If the formula was every year you work, it's supposed to be a dollar more to your income. And then they went back, you know, like what the homes and minimum wages was in the 60s and the 50s and stuff like that. So she goes, everything's going to keep on going up. So by the time you reach, you know, by the time you get to 50 or whatever, 55 years of age, she goes, you would have a cost of living increase and all that. And minimum wage for anybody starting out would have been $38 or $39. And every year you add a dollar to that year. Cost of living does not go down. The gas, our gas is almost back up to, what is it, up to $3 a gallon again. Everything's going up. They brought our income back to 1984, back down to $15 an hour. It's impossible to live. You know? And the average rent here is going for $2,500. The mortgage and taxes monthly, you need at least $5,000 to live. Some people aren't, including myself, we don't even make not even half of that for our pension a month. So they put us in a situation where everybody's going to end up losing. Unlike the attorneys, and when they steal people's property, who's paying the taxes on that? They're coming back after us using it as a tax write-off. And it's under our Social Security name and number. So they can hide and tuck away anything they want. So, I mean, it's just like, number one, if you did not sign to change your name for your mortgage, it's not legal to begin with. And we've been filing all kinds of papers. I got some paper and stuff to be sending to you. I have, I'll get that over to you this week on everything that I'm doing. But I have the court date on Monday. We have the, now the reporters and people want to come in and see what's going on, you know, because it's just like, it's going on all over the country. So just keep a close eye on what's going on here in Connecticut. And one other thing, too, that might be helpful for people losing their homes, you know, because you can sit there and file the bankruptcy, what have you, and put your mortgage, everything in there, and send them the subrogations. I have somebody on the call told us to do about the subrogation. It will help. Also, what I learned was the last week, 2 weeks ago, file a complaint in the federal courthouse in the clerk's office. Now, I filed mine. I was declined on mine because the attorney, and I wrote grievances up on all the attorneys. Every time they send me a letter, I put a grievance in on them. And they sent me my foreclosure because my house is supposed to be in foreclosed 1 month from today, the 26th of May. I have my warranty deed, and I have my transcripts, and this started with this judge, the same one who everybody's complaining about. His name is Alfred Jennings. He started with me in 2014, and then in 2015 when I went to court, that's when I said, am I a public servant of this court? He said, no. Is this my grand jury? He said, no, he's a grand jury. I said, you just committed a treason. So I got all my transcripts and affidavits and stuff, you know. And then he said, 2 months ago, because I didn't mention his name, he said he should recuse himself from my case, which that's in the transcript. And so, as I said, you know, I'm putting everything. And I also found out this week when I was going through all my paperwork, my case, the attorneys, and gee, they withdrew themselves from my case 5 times. Then the judge turned around and said, erase. and they had some, I don't even know what these codes were. Then they put me back on for foreclosure. And on the docket, the withdrawal, it's withdrawn from December 16th of 2015 to withdraw again January 18th, 2018. So when I go back on Monday, I'm just trying to put myself together. And if anybody got any advice on that, but they left a nice little paper trail. Is there any, you know?
I appreciate hearing about it, Crystal. You've got a lot of guts, and I'm glad that you're sharing all this with us. And it's not easy, and I appreciate you standing up because you're standing up for everybody.
Well, I'm just going to keep you well informed. You know, as I said, we got a lot of people coming into the court, and it's very, very important. Please, please, you know, it's just like yesterday, this whole week, I blew my whole week, and the family members have been passed. I've been in court trying to help people and being in support of strangers I don't even know. And I said, you know what, if as long as there's two or three, we'll have to sit in the courtroom, you know? Mm-hmm. And as I said, when people are calling me for help, I said, look, I'm learning just like you are. Come to the court and see what's what, you know? And what happened, why a lot of people turned out in City Hall, because everybody saw me representing myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I had an upper hand on a lot of things because I worked in it. And as I said, I was a little more somewhat familiar with some of the things, you know? A lot of things I didn't know. So I'm learning just like the next person. And, but we're all learning from each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
I'll let you know.
Wow. Bless you. Gosh. I agree with your standing up and then for your loving kindness and service. How wonderful is that? And know you're supported not only in, you know, in prayer, coming down from this side, but all your efforts will be rewarded. And one of my thinkings is that if just the states would repossess their land and then freely homestead it to folks, I mean, we could all be in the production business again. And, you know, it was always life, liberty, property. Then you can chase some happiness. And they took that out of the equation. And so really the simplicity of restoring the land to us, the people, is the answer. Because if you've got a piece of the pie, if you can, you know, support your family when you have property, that's the answer. But anyway, Crystal, wow, you're in the trenches, my dear, and keep hanging in there, and I'm praying for you. And
thank you. I need
I know
that.
You. I know.
There's one other thing I want to share with you. It's called the mandatory notice, the Foreign Sovereignty Amendment Act, Section 1605 and 1607.
Okay.
Notice of liability, and it's 18 U.S.C. 2333. And then they have 18 U.S.C. 1341 and 1342. And this was a law that was passed January 12, 1940, about our names. The mandatory notice is provided to all territorial United States districts and state and country. Wait a minute, I don't got my glass. My glass is broke. Their office, clerks, bailiffs, sheriffs, deputies, and employees in all municipalities appointed includes the district, state, and county courts and offices and employees. And it says the vessel doing business as, and it put your name 1, 2, 3 times together with all. Oh God, what is this? Just whatever in performance, but you could look this up on your website. It's called the Mandatory Notice. And it's under the United States, and it was from January, came out on January 12, 1940. So I just took this
now,
down.
Did you say that was a mandatorily notice or a mandatory?
Mandatory. It's mandatory notice.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And the it's the Foreign Sovereign Immunity Act, Section 1605 and 1607. And it's the Notice of Liabilities, and it's 18 U.S.C. 2333, and then it's 18 U.S.C. 1341 and 1342, and the date is January 12, 1940. And somebody just gave me this.
Okay, now Crystal, you do understand that there is no such thing as a United States territory.
Okay.
Once a state is established, territories go away. The U.S. has no legal, quote-unquote, right to a territory. It's a non sequitur. It's gone. So howsoever they are utilizing, and by the way, it's not a constitutional republic anymore. That was changed when the Act of 1871, when it was changed into a corporation. So
1871, it was changed into a corporation?
Correct.
Okay.
We haven't been operating on the our original constitution since then. So here's my suggestion. It's all a moot point, any of this. We need to redeclare our independence.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It's
well, I got
all
my
this.
Okay.
All this sugar is useless.
Like I have my name. I have my warranty deed, and I also gave myself life use of my property.
Yes, but honey, here's the issue. All these, you have no right. We have nothing. We're still a British colony, you know? We're still a British colony of the crown. And until... I guess the rest of us stand up and redeclare our independence. This is all a moot point. The courts, the whatever, it's useless. We have no more
You know what? I Satan's powerful, Jesus mighty, and Jehovah's almighty. And you know what? It's just like all these evil, wicked things that are happening. One thing, as I said, I know who I serve. I fear no man, and I put my total faith and trust in Jehovah's hands. And even like in the courts, I will sit there and talk to people, and all of a sudden you hear even the people in the court, the back, they get very quiet. You know what? I keep a positive attitude.
Of course.
I've been fighting for life just to live. I've been through a nightmare and back, but I will never let no man rob me of my joy. And
correct.
As I said, we got to keep positive. And you know what? With all this going on, it was like when they seen me in court, I didn't even know any of these people. And now they're all going. And now everybody, I said, one thing for sure, little Donald, he's as crazy as a bed bug at times. But I said, you know what? I said, this didn't start with him. I said, he just got in a year ago. I said, but I'll tell you what thing. He got everybody using their thinking caps. Everybody's thinking. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where did this mess come from? And so all the Republicans, the Democrats, all these years, for the past 30 years, they've been a part of all this whole scam. Mm. And most of them were all attorneys.
Correct. Now, there was an interesting little snippet on our NLA's webpage about unalienable, the difference between unalienable and inalienable. Oh, and I say unalienable, like the gentleman said, and that's the difference between unalienable, unalienable, and inalienable is the God-given. It cannot be changed. And the only person that ever has a lien on me, unalienable, is my daddy God. So I thought that was a wonderful discourse. And I so agreed. I agreed with it. I agree with you. And the bad guys, the Rothschilds, you know, the Warburgs, the Illuminati, the Satanists, and now it's all coming up, have had control over pretty much our whole planet for quite a bit now. But the good thing is, as you say, it's all coming to light. Everything's
what's in the
coming
dark
to light. I know, yippee! And I've been studying with Dr. Danny Ben-Gigi and the original pre-Babylonian pictographs, Hebrew, go figure. But anyway, he's got a wonderful book, The Secrets of the original Hebrew, and the original word is not "let there be light." And this is Dr. Danny Ben-Gigi, the big kahuna guy. It's in the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, it's be light.
Yep. Everybody needs to read Psalms 37 and read Habakkuk and Zephaniah. It's about judges, and it's a very soon, Psalm 37, and it says, and very soon the wicked will perish, but the meek ones will inherit the earth. And the best gift, you know what? I said, what they've been putting us through, this is not out of love. This is all abuse, human right abuse. It's terrorists. It's hatefulness. It's abuse of power. It's abuse of elderly. It's abuse of children. It's abuse of families. It's abuse. They're perpetrating a fraud. And we're putting all these things together because it's totally abuse and lies.
Yeah, and the good thing is, remember, I love it when the parable of the tares, I just think that is so wonderful, because what does it tell us? You know, we have to stay, you know, hanging in there, working in the fields, and then what does our Yahushua do? What does our Jesus do? He sends the angels to take out the wicked, and
but we are so
left
close to that day of Armageddon, honey.
Well, whatsoever. I mean, I'm not saying anything other than what the scriptures, what
and
I
that's
understand.
And that's in the scriptures, Revelation chapter
says,
7.
Well, I'm just talking about Matthew when he says, and then he sends his angels to take out the bad guys, and we're left shining in the sun of our kingdom, our Father's kingdom. So that's pretty much where I am. You know, I'm just going to hang in there, do the best that I can do, and
read Matthew 24 when the apostles asked Jesus, when will your day be present? When will the conclusion of the system be?
He said,
see that no one will you. Well, you see wars, rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, food shortage, famine, worldwide disaster, all that stuff is happening right now, you know.
Yes, but meanwhile, hold on, sugar. Meanwhile, what do? We just kind of dig in. This is my take on it. We just kind of dig in, hang in there with each other, and I truly believe NLA's plan to get us back to the communities, the committees of safety, get us back to the militia, us all digging in and knowing each other, you know your family. Listen, if you know your kids or your neighbor's kid down the street is whacking out and going to go take an Uzi and try to take a gazillion people out, then you're going to be there for them. It's not going to happen. It's just that simple, getting back to the basics of just hanging in there with each other, loving each other, feeding each other. Goodness gracious.
Well, that never stopped with me. I've always helped people. That's always been my forte, you know.
All right, sweetie. Well, listen, I'm loving to hear your testimony, you know, because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcame. So I'm hearing your beautiful testimony, not hearing any of the guys coming in there or whatever.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
So I'm just loving to hear your testimony, and I truly believe that NLA's plan is a good thing to get us back to common law, Fifth Amendment, presentment grand juries, and committees of safety. I mean, it's a good thing. It's pretty basic. And I'm in there swinging with you, and God bless, and praying for you that all will be in divine order. And so I'm going to kind of ring off and hopefully listen to others. So, yippee. All righty. I'm out.
Anyone else have some comments? Well, we're at 10:01. That's pretty precise. I guess we can call it here. I'll turn the recording off.